We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heard an amen. Good. Sermon today is in four acts. Four acts. Act one, the trap. Herodians and Pharisees come to Jesus to trap him. They want to silence the man. He's been saying things they don't agree with. He's been doing things they don't agree with. He had his own protest. He went into the temple and overthrew tables of the money changers, stopped commerce for a while because he wanted to make the point that they were using the temple as a place to change money and not to pray. So they approach him, and first they flatter him. Oh, Jesus, we know you teach the truth, which of course they didn't believe, and we know you're impartial. So we have a question for you. Should we pay taxes to the emperor? The tax they were talking about was the poll tax. It was a flat tax. Everyone paid it, and they knew full well that as they paid this money to the Roman Empire was using it to further oppress them. So they really didn't want this tax. And it's interesting that these two groups came together to try to trap Jesus because they didn't usually do things together. The Pharisees were against the Roman Empire and against the tax. The Herodians, as you can tell from their name, were in favor of Herod, the king that the Romans had put in place, the puppet king. And so they supported the empire and paying the tax. But as the saying goes, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So the two groups came together to try to trap Jesus. And it was a trap. If he said, yes, you should pay the tax, then all the people, with whom that was a very unpopular idea, would turn their backs on Jesus and leave. If he said, don't pay the Romans their tax, he could get in trouble with Rome. Before Jesus answers, he criticizes them. He calls them hypocrites. That's from the Greek word for actor. You know, if you act in a play, as many of you have, you might put on makeup, maybe even a wig, you put on a costume, you become someone you are not. And he was saying that they were pretending to flatter him, pretending to be his friend, but all the time they were waiting to, you know, put the knife in his back. So they were hypocrites in that way. But the Pharisees were hypocrites in a far deeper way. The costume the Pharisees wore was of righteous people whose every action was taken to honor God. And that's, of course, why they felt that they had to say something against Jesus. But underneath that costume, the real Pharisee was honoring himself. He was opposed to Jesus because Jesus threatened his popularity and his power. So, that's Act One, the trap. Act Two, which is the escape. So Jesus says, bring me a coin. Bring me one of these coins that you use to pay the Roman tax. And as you can see from the cover of your bulletin, it had the head of the emperor on it. Not someone who was dead, the way our coins do, but the actual emperor that was there, Tiberius. Well, you can imagine how they felt holding that coin and having to look at that face every time. This was the face of the man in charge of the Roman Empire that held them down. So it was very uncomfortable. I imagine like African Americans walking across alongside statues of Confederate soldiers who fought a war to keep them enslaved. It was uncomfortable. But not only was it uncomfortable to have this tax, and look at this picture, or have this coin, and look at this picture, but they believed it was also against God's law. Because on the coin itself was this engraving: Tiberius Caesar, August son of the divine Augustus, high priest. So that inscription was nothing less than claiming that the Roman emperor was God. It was a graven image, if you can remember those words, that was a law, of God's law, against having an idol. So they didn't even want to hold it. However, Somebody had one of these awful coins, because Jesus asked for it to be brought before him. And they brought one. And he said, of course, whose face, whose image in Greek, whose icon is this? And whose inscription? And they said, the emperor's. And then he said, well, give to the emperor what belongs to the emperor, to God what belongs to God. And they were surprised. They were amazed. They hadn't seen this one coming. So the Herodians and the Pharisees walk off. Act 3, the dilemma. Now, it's not a dilemma for the Pharisees and the Herodians. They've left. It's a dilemma for the rest of us who are standing there looking at Jesus and saying, what did you just say? Should you pay taxes or shouldn't you pay taxes? Now, we hear that those famous words of Jesus, maybe in the King James Version, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God's. There are a lot of ways to understand that. Some people say, well, Jesus is clearly saying there's politics, there's religion, the two do not meet. But if that's what he's saying, then he's approving things like when we are happy to see, you know, the opposing political party being insulted, or we're gleeful when they mess up, or, you know, we disparage every action they take and we suspect every motive they have. That would be acceptable then. Or that we justify everything a political party does, even if they do something wrong or unjust, and we say, but it's just politics. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with my values as a Christian. But is that really what Jesus is saying? There's a story that in ancient times, Christian missionaries converted the warlike Gauls. Apologies if any of you have relatives who are Gauls. And they noticed that when they baptized these men in the river, they would always hold one arm up in the air. And they were wondering, that was a strange thing to do. Well, they discovered why, because the next time a battle ensued, the men would say, this arm was not baptized. And they would grab a sword and go and destroy their enemies. Separation of faith and politics. You know, also, if we were standing there looking at Jesus, and if we were Jewish, when we heard him say, give what belongs to God, we would be thinking of a Psalm 42, verse 1, that says, the whole earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That would be ringing in our ears, and we would think, you know, politics must be under the big umbrella of our faith. So Jesus leaves us with a dilemma. I believe he's saying that all of our political decisions have to be struggled with. We have to try to figure them out in terms of the values of our faith, that we can't separate the two. Now, what makes this so hard is because, you know, we have a tendency to be like the Pharisees. When Jesus said, what face is on the coin, he used the word icon in the Greek. And that same word is used in the Old Testament when God is speaking on the sixth day of creation, saying, let us make humankind in our image. The same word, that in our face, in our image, icon. And what that tells us, of course, is not that we look like God or that we act like God. I'm sure we wouldn't think that. But that we, like I was talking to the children, have this special connection to God. A father and a son might not always see eye to eye. A mother and a daughter might fight from time to time, but they know that there's a deep connection between the two of them, that they have an ultimate responsibility to love and care for each other. And so that's what God is saying here, that we have that deep, deep connection with God. What God is also saying, as I mentioned to the children, is that because all humankind is created in the image of God, we have that same deep connection with each other. Even people whose political opinions we cannot stand, we have a connection. So how can we not try to understand that and try to be more caring about our political opponents? Well, that's our dilemma. The fourth act is the resolution. And that's pretty simple, really. If we are willing to admit that sometimes we are like the Pharisees, that we have certain fears and certain feelings of being treated unjustly, we have certain anger, and we cover over that with a costume of our political stance sometimes. And when we're willing to admit that, when we're willing to take off that costume and ask God's forgiveness, then God is there. Then God sees us through the eyes of the waters of our baptism. Then God sees us through the blood of Jesus' sacrifice. Then God sees us through that lens that God has honed by loving self-sacrifice for us. Then when God looks at us, God sees the image of God, which is powerful, powerful to forgive, powerful to change society into a place that is more caring. Amen.